It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, here we go. It is hour number two on Raider Nation Radio, and hour number two exclusively on my YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT, is where you can find us live at Raiders headquarters. In this multi-million dollar, it's not a million dollar, it's a multi-million dollar studio. There are not many radio shows today in something this nice. So if you want to check it out, see where we're at right here. We're out of the gate, ready to go. First hour on Wednesday is exclusive on the Raiders YouTube channel. And that'll air in a little bit later on. You'll get the alert if you follow the Raiders on YouTube. And we call that Raiders Rundown. We do that hour, and then we cut it up and make a TV show, ABC Television, ABC, after college football Saturday night around 8:30. If the game's running late, they play it in its entirety, so I'm excited about that. So here we go. We're ready to roll, and it's a big week because it's Kansas City week. The NBA, I got a lot to say about LeBron James and Bronny James. I'll get to that and some of the other breaking news around the league. There's a trade that went down today. The Chiefs traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Look at this. Isn't this amazing? DeAndre Hopkins goes to Kansas City as Devontae wanted out. Let me get that into the monologue. Devontae wants out. We lose our best receiver. And you know, I think DeAndre Hopkins is a phenomenal receiver, definitely past his prime, clearly past his prime, but a guy who can get three touchdowns in a game. Amari Cooper was just traded to Buffalo. And when you start looking around now, this hasn't been the way of the NFL your whole lifetime, that their trades at the trade deadline or before that. Now we're seeing something that I've been preaching for quite some time, mostly in the NBA, but I'll use it here. We are now in the entitlement era in sports, the entitlement era where players believe they're entitled to break contracts. And before you say, well, the owners can get out of the contract, a little bit different. The owners own the team. There's 32 of them. That's part of what the players collectively bargain. So the owners, you can have a contract. It's all about the guaranteed money. If you're not playing well, the owners can trade you. And they can cut you. And if you don't like that as a player, then go hold out or go strike. We've had strikes in this league. That's part of the deal. There's also something called the franchise tag, which it benefits the teams and the owners, because if every rookie wanted to leave their team when they were making no money and leave and go to the best team, we wouldn't have a league. We'd just have three or four teams at the top of the league. But now we're getting to the point where players are going, man, I can get out of a team that's 2-5, and Devontae's not a good example because he went to a completely dysfunctional franchise. And for those who are saying the Raiders is that, I'm sitting with three Super Bowls behind me here in this building and a team that dominated the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The Jets can't say anything about that. And Devontae wanted to go there. Okay, so he wanted to go there. He didn't want to go to Buffalo. He wasn't going to go to Kansas City. There are some flat-out knuckleheads who are saying, well, why didn't Devontae go to Kansas City? You really think Tom Telesco is going to move him to Kansas City so he'd be playing Devontae at home this week? But they get DeAndre Hopkins because Hopkins was just doing nothing on a team that's doing nothing, and now he goes to help Andy Reid out and Patrick Mahomes. And very sharp on why that deal was made today. It's for Xavier Worthy. They have a Cliff Branch, and he's not Cliff. There's only one Cliff Branch. I don't take that name in vain. But they got a player that can just run go routes. We're supposed to have one, too, in Trey Tucker, but we don't throw Trey Tucker the ball deep. They're going to throw the ball deep to Xavier Worthy. I can promise you that. So you get Kelsey, who runs over the middle of the field. Then you got DeAndre Hopkins, who can run an out route, a go route, a crossing route. And then you have Xavier Worthy, who you got to keep an eye on a double team over the top, and that's what Kansas City's doing this. Kansas City didn't trade for DeAndre Hopkins today to beat the Raiders, all right? They didn't need to do that to beat the Raiders. They did that to win the Super Bowl. They did that because Rashee Rice and the injuries that they've had, and they know that they need extra receivers because the strength of that team is Patrick Mahomes, and they go out there and get him Christmas presents every month, and they get him what he needs to win. So that's a big storyline today. The Raiders also signed quarterback Desmond Ridder. I think everybody in Raider Nation should root for this guy if he plays. I mean, Gardner Minshew's playing himself out of the job, even though it looks like he's going to play this week. They can't get Ridder up and ready to go, most likely, because of the injury that we saw go down with Aiden O'Connell. So when I look at this deal overall, Ritter can play. He can play as a former third-round pick. 8-9 as a Falcons starter. He won 8 games in the league. He won 8 games as a young starter in his first 2 years. He can come in here. But the thing I've been saying all day long, if you heard me on Raiders Rundown or what we're talking about, is that he's basically Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is Desmond Ritter. Ritter is Minshew. So which one can play better and not turn it over? Right? Isn't that the thing? Yeah, which guy could play and keep the job because he's not going to be a turnover machine? Pretty simple. You put Gardner in for one more week, and I think you go and you sit back and you say to yourself, well, you know, Gardner's been playing so badly. He's been playing so badly that maybe he'll play well, right? That's the way I'd look at it. I mean, I don't think Gardner is washed, but that's a term you use, my kid's generation. He's washed. All right. So if you think Gardner's washed, then he's probably never going to play after the Raiders then, or he'll be a pure backup. Whereas here, he was a starter. He won the starting job for the famed Las Vegas Raiders. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't give him another week. Until now, they got a quarterback who can play, but he doesn't have enough time to get ready. I don't believe he does. So you go Gardner one more week. If Gardner's throwing the ball around and he's just completely out of control, then you can put in Ritter the rest of the year. If Aiden comes back, you want to play him, but the ship has sailed, right? And everybody knows, and everybody wants to talk about, and everybody's upset with me for not talking about the quarterback of the future. I mean, I feel like I'm fishing for some people on the internet, on my social media. That I'm just going through a tough road here because I got people that want to talk about next year's quarterback draft, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it the week of Kansas City coming to town, I can promise you that. And the quarterback that you might want might not be there. Might not be there. I remember Jaden Daniels was unattainable. Caleb Williams was unattainable. Drake May was unattainable. So the Raiders are going to have to wait around for another quarterback. I am agreeing with you, everybody. I'm in agreement with everyone in Raider Nation that thinks the Raiders need a quarterback. Because historically, for me, I like the veteran. I do. We never have Rich Gannon ever if John Gruden and Al Davis don't think that's a good move. We never, ever, ever have Rich Gannon, the MVP, our good friend, if they went out and said, no, we don't need Rich Gannon. Let's just tank for a rookie. Raiders don't tank for anybody. Not tanking for Kansas City, I can tell you that. So for everybody who wants a rookie quarterback in April, we'll get into that content in January, February. I'm going to be at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, most likely. I'm there every year. And we'll be doing entire shows on the Raiders quarterback of the future. We're not going to do it week 7, week 8, week 9. We've got to get ready for some football games. So we'll do all of that. The offensive line's got to play better. The offensive line is borderline getting to the point where you're looking at it saying, oh my God, how many new offensive linemen do we got to get? You're playing DJ Glaze, who's got player with upside, and you know how much I love Jackson Powers Johnson and what he means to this team. They're going to make rookie mistakes. They are. They're making rookie mistakes. So that's the way I see it as I open up this hour. Jess is in for Bobby. Bobby had a late night last night, and Bobby worked our show, worked to the late Golden Night game. They gave him a day off. Jess is back in studio. If you want to get through, I got a good hour to take phone calls. I didn't backtrack it. We had 3 guests in the first hour. We had Vinny Bonsignor, Lincoln Kennedy, and the coach, Antonio Pierce. So now we just like to do some phone calls and get ready because we flipped the page and it's all about Kansas City. And that's the focus of my monologue brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They own PTs. It's the best happy hour in town. No debate. The best happy hour in town. You get 2 of them, 5 to 7 and midnight to 2. Drink responsibly. Half price drinks. The menu's full. You can go there to watch sports, gaming. They're a proud partner of the Vegas Golden Knights. So let me just give you my opinion on this game because I worked the game. So when I pull up there to every Raider home game, I have the same routine. I pull up. I park. They give me a great parking pass. I'm underneath. Great parking pass in the yard lot. Go, dog sniffers come by, the dog sniffers. They open up the gate, and I'm in Allegiant Stadium. Then I climb the stairs, steep stairs, and then I go to some tailgates. Like to go to some tailgates, see the fans, because I'm a season ticket holder, kind of get the vibe of what's happening. Then I go in, and I go to the torch, and I get ready to do my job for over 90 minutes. Hosting the pregame show with Eric Allen. I've never been to the torch ever expecting a loss. I have never, ever once in my career in Oakland or in Las Vegas, gone to the torch with the pregame show or the West Side Club, saying, you know, we're going to lose this game today. It's just a matter of how much. You will never hear that from me. I know how dark it is right now when it comes to wins and losses. I know how poorly the team is playing. How dare you question me not knowing how poorly this team is playing? What the hell do you think I do 6 days a week out of seven? Completely immersed with this team. But when I show up on game day, I believe the Raiders can win. They beat Baltimore. They beat Kansas City last year. They were the last team to beat Kansas City. So I know there's going to be some fans who don't believe. I'm aware of that. I put them in timeout on my YouTube chat. They're acting like four-year-olds, some of them, and I got the best YouTubers out there. They're calling themselves the bricklayers. Pound the like button, will you? But I'm going into this game saying the same thing. Be ready to play a solid four quarters for once. Please, as I sit in my seats with my wife and son, please play a good, entertaining football game. The entertainment's amazing. They spend a lot of money in entertaining you during the timeouts, halftime, unbelievable artists are performing. Everything they do is five-star. You can go to a nightclub in the game and order 1942. All the Tito's you want, they'll feed you. They got club sections, the Twitch Club, Modelo. They got suites where the biggest celebrities in the world. Ooh, Swifty, is she coming? Is she coming? I don't know. My wife's a Swifty. She's a Swifty. I'll ask her if she's coming. I don't care about any of that. I care about the win. I care about the outcome of the game. And then if they lose, I head up to the press box. I take the headset from Jason Horowitz, and we do a 90-minute postgame show. And the last couple of weeks have been rough. The last 3 weeks have been intense. It's been rough. It's just been tough because the team in all three of those games have started. I wouldn't say they're starting fast. I'm not saying they're starting fast, but they're not train wrecking. You see some of these NFL games every week? Teams are down 14-0 6 minutes into the game. That's not the Raiders. Raiders are ready to play. The airline travel, the hotel, 5 stars. They get there, they're ready to go. Max is all taped up. He's in the tunnel screaming, let's go. They're ready. They're fine. But then something happens during the game. Something happens, an interception, a turnover. And I don't think the players run to the sidelines and start whining and going, oh, my God, we're going to lose. These are professional football players. They played their whole life. Most of them are in their 20s. They played at Florida State, Alabama, right? They played at Tennessee, wherever it is. They've been down in games before and come back and won. But the problem here is that when there's bad momentum around this season and this roster, it just gets worse. And I'd love to say it's bad luck, but you'd skewer me. You'd rip me behind my back and say, did he just say bad luck? Well, a little of it's bad luck. I mean, a lot, you know, some of it's bad luck. Tip balls, ask Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a hell of a player. He had a guy in the chest with a ball, and the ball pops out, and the game changes. That's bad luck. It's also a bad play because the receiver had a ball hit him in the chest. But nothing is going right for the Raiders right now other than Brock Bowers and, of course, Max. I put Max in a different category. Nate Hobbs is playing well. DJ Glaze, for a rookie, is playing well. Who else is playing well? That's a great topic today at 702-365-9200. Matter of fact, it is a good topic. Who the hell's playing well on this team? I didn't say great. I said, who's playing well? Let's go through. Who do you want to say? Merrick? I guess so. PFF score okay. Colt Miller? No. No. Spillane? Absolutely. Spillane's going to the Pro Bowl if he keeps up these stats. DJ Turner and Trey Tucker? Hell no. They're good players. They're not playing well. They don't get the ball. They don't get the ball. What are you talking about? They're playing well. I think they're good players. They don't get the ball in a league where they're throwing the ball 40 to 50 times a game. The entire Raider receivers are getting 5 receptions. Who's playing well is Brock Bowers. Alexander Mattison is playing well. Who else? Who? Ja'Corian Bennett? Okay. Yeah, I'll go Ja'Corian Bennett. But you're looking around here. You know who plays well on the Chiefs? Everybody other than Mahomes and Kelsey. How wild is that, what I just said? Mahomes is having his worst season. His worst season, period. I got some notes on Mahomes. You won't believe it. Listen to this. They provided me this on Raiders Rundown. I don't read my radio show, so this is a rare moment. Patrick Mahomes' career performance through 6 games. Patrick Mahomes coming into this week. 6-0, that's the best he's ever been. Of course, if you're undefeated, that's the best. You can't do better. Passing yards, 1,389. Worst of his career. Passing touchdowns, six. Six touchdowns. Worst of his career. Interceptions, eight. Oh, my God, he's got six touchdowns, eight interceptions. Who's he talking about? I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, best player on earth. That's tied for worst. And his passer rating, 82.5, the worst of his career. Can you imagine if this Raider team was 4-3? I'm just asking them to beat the Rams in Carolina. I'm just asking them to beat. They beat Baltimore. Can you imagine if the Raiders took care of business against Carolina and the Rams? We'd take two losses off. They're 2-5. And we put two victories on. They'd have four wins. And then, fact not fiction, here's my notes, YouTube, we'd be playing Mahomes at his all-time worst. Man, dip the show in reality. That's what could have happened, but no, they're 6-0. Raiders are 2-5. You want to talk about blown opportunities? You want to talk about everything that could go wrong, has gone wrong? And what do you want to do? I mean, I can't make up stats. I have the real stats here. I can't make up the fact that the Raiders lead the league in turnovers and turnover differential. Can't make that up. I can't make up the fact that a quarterback in Gardner Minshew, who had the opportunity of a lifetime to secure himself, probably not long-term because the Raiders would get a quarterback in the draft, but if they drafted a quarterback this next year, Gardner Minshew, if he played well, you wouldn't play that rookie quarterback. You would not play him. Gardner Minshew would get another season because if he was playing well, Aiden wouldn't be playing. Gardner would be, and then next year the rookie quarterback would be here behind Gardner most likely, and that's not happening. How's this all not happening before the bye week? I'm going to Miami with the team coming up after the bye week. I just wanted to be competitive heading into Miami. And, you know, the last couple of games, they've been competitive in the first quarter. Wouldn't it be great to say, hey, man, they were competitive. They were competitive into the third quarter, into three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, they got beat. They got beat on a Patrick Surtain fourth quarter pick six. No, they were about to go up 17-3. Patrick Surtain got an early pick six. They were about to go up on Pittsburgh. They were up on Pittsburgh, actually. They were about to go up. Dylan Lalby puts the ball on the ground. Nice young man. Wish him well. And then, oh, my God, they're going to beat the Rams. Matthew Stafford had his worst passing game yardage-wise in the history of his career in L.A. He's a Super Bowl champ, and the Raiders lose that game by less than a score. So I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm dealing with idiots right now. A guy called Can't Go Right says, winning is pointless. So I'm busting my ass here with not having five co-hosts or six. Some shows have eight co-hosts. I'm here just by myself, job of a lifetime, and I got idiots telling me it's pointless to win. That's what I'm dealing with. So I wanted to get that in. But the one thing I wanted to talk about most today is that, oh, yes, and as Raider Mikey tells me, Robert Spillane, again, I'll say that. He's playing really well. He can flip a game. Spillane can win a game. You know, if you want to beat Kansas City, you know Spillane's going to have a big game. All right, so we're going to take your phone calls if you think the Raiders can beat Kansas City. That's it. I don't want to hear from the people that are throwing in the towel. Just get away from me. Get away from me. Please come and listen to the show. Listen. Please support all of our proud partners. Buy me a Modelo at the Torch. Do whatever you want to do. But don't come on my radio show telling me you want to lose. Because this organization is built on the vision and the legacy of Al Davis. And if you are a Raider fan and you wear Raider gear and you have your name Raider Paul, Raider Vinny, Raider Chris, and then you go on the internet and you rip your own team and you tear your own team apart, even though that's happening in Kansas City and in L.A. with the Charger fans and in Denver, and you're piling on with the Denver fans who are treating us like crap and you claim to be a Raider fan, just get out of the way. You can still be a Raider fan. I would never tell you not to be a fan. You know, I wasn't born a Raider fan. You've been kind enough to bring me in. But you real-lifer Raider fans who are my sons were born Raider fans, you know, they're not saying, Dad, we got to lose every game to get who? Who do you want to get? What's his name again? Oh, you don't even know. At least last year we knew it was going to be Caleb Williams. Can you imagine if Caleb Williams was still in college? You'd be all calling me going, lose every game for Caleb Williams. We don't even know who the guy's going to be now. So two other topics. I'm going to the World Series on Friday. Eddie Pascal will be in with me. He'll be in hosting for an hour. I'll have a little best of with the coach and a couple other things that we'll do. I'm going to go to the Dodgers versus the Yankees World Series. Fernando Valenzuela died last night. One of the all-time greatest Dodgers to ever live. Fernando Mania. Fernando Valenzuela won the World Series in 1981 against my Yankees. He had one of the greatest seasons I could ever remember in the history of baseball. He won the NL Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young and the World Series. Let that sink in, please. Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, and a World Series ring. I don't think, how could that even be possible, right? It's incredible to think that could happen. It's like Jim Brown in football. All right, Tom Brady didn't come. Tom Brady was not Fernando. Tom Brady came into the league, he was a sixth-round pick. Right? Fernando was that great. Growing up at that time and starting high school and in high school for Fernando Mania and living in New York, I was well aware of Fernando. A, I was a diehard baseball fan. And number two, the Yankees end up losing to him in the World Series. And the Yankees are 8-3 all time against the Dodgers in the World Series. So I said it earlier today. Chris in West Oakland texted me, a couple other guys. If you host a radio show or a TV show or a simulcast and you didn't mention Fernando in the first 10 minutes, you're just a fraud. I mean, you're just an absolute fraud if you can't mention Fernando and what that meant. If there are any Fernando fans out there, which I know there are, please let me know the impact he had on your life. I just lost Pete Rose, my friend. You're going to hear Reggie Jackson with me tomorrow. I saved the Reggie Jackson interview, which I thought was really good. We'll have that to preview the World Series. But Fernando Valenzuela, rest in peace. Remember Mark the Bird Fidrich, if you're old enough to remember him coming in as a rookie, going to the All-Star game? That was unbelievable, but it wasn't Fernando. And the way that Fernando dominated. A quick story, I'm taking my 21-year-old, my senior at ASU, to the World Series. We're meeting up in L.A. on Friday, and I texted him last night. And I told him, I go, hey, man, learn about Fernando Valenzuela because it's going to be a big part of the game because we're going to be in the game. And my son said, oh, Dad, I know about him from my video game. MLB The Show and all that, and I guess there's a way that they have a legendary category. I'm not a video game guy, but he said that. And I said, yeah, I know that. And he talked about a screwball. I just said, spend about 5 or 10 minutes on YouTube. Just put in Fernando Valenzuela on YouTube and spend about 5 or 10 minutes watching his career highlights. We're gonna always have that in sports. Someone's always going to come into sports in any major sport, right? Could be NASCAR, hockey, right? Could be Sidney Crosby. Could be someone coming into the sport that just dominates. Imagine coming in, being the rookie of the year in the NHL and the MVP and winning the cup. Let that sink in. That's what Fernando did in baseball. May he rest in peace. He was absolutely brilliant. He was a meteor through the sky. It was just incredible to be alive and really engaged in baseball. He threw a no-hitter. Vin Scully's call of his no-hitters, one for the ages. And he passed away, and as I'm going to go to game one of the World Series, I think it's going to dominate the game. I think when I walk through the gates of Dodger Stadium, it's all going to be about Fernando, and the Yankees are going to have to deal with that. Gerrit Cole's going to start. I think I sent out a tweet earlier today. In the World Series game that Fernando beat the Yankees, I wasn't aware of this until I saw the tweet on what he was able to do. It's one of the most fascinating stats that I've seen. For all the shutouts, Fernando Valenzuela's most impressive performance might have been Game 3 of the 1981 World Series against the Yankees. He gave up 9 hits. He walked 7, but gutted out the victory with a complete game. 147 pitches. Holy crap. 147 pitches. Do you know now if a pitcher gave up 9 hits and walked more than 3, they get pulled in the fourth inning? He walked 7, and Tommy Lasorda kept him in the game, and he ended up winning, and it was a complete game. Will we ever see anything like that again? Never. Where, you know, guys can throw 200 pitches or 160 and then come back on short rest. I need Gerrit Cole. I need Gerrit Cole to throw 90 to 100 pitches. Because all season long, when he got to 60 or 70, Aaron Boone would get all nervous and flustered and get on the phone and want to get him out of the game. Okay, Gerrit Cole made more in 1 year than Fernando made in his entire career, or close to it. I saw the numbers. It's remarkable. So World Series, if you got anything on that, I got the Yankees in six because I'm a Yankee fan. You think I'm going to pick the Dodgers? You're out of your mind. And then finally, something else that has me furious, absolutely out of my mind, and thank God that I'm still a host that cares enough to share this with you. LeBron James's son could have died of a heart failure on a basketball court, Bronny James. An exceptional basketball player. He's the best, one of the top 10 players in all of AAU basketball as a kid. That matters. He was 10, 11, 12, 13. He wasn't on the elite McDonald's High School All-American because his dad got him on the McDonald's High School All-American team. No, he was a great player. But now people are questioning Bronny being in the NBA. Last night he took the court, opening night in L.A. with his dad. It truly was one of the greatest moments in NBA history. I'm not talking about Game 7, Bird Magic. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about historic moments. And man, there are so many angry people on Twitter, X, saying that this is nepotism, this is that. Can you just enjoy something and look at it and say, that's a father and a mother sitting courtside, one playing with the son. The son could have died. The son got drafted and is playing with his dad. Amazing that people are questioning this. Who's the player that Bronny took the job from? I'm dealing with a whole bunch of other Einsteins who are saying, well, Bronny got drafted and he took a job from someone else. No, he didn't. Who's the guy he took? Whose job did he take? Pause. Dead air. Who did Bronny take a job from? Oh, that'd be nobody. You don't even know who he took a job from because it's a conspiracy. He didn't take no one's job. Anybody had a chance to go to camps and rookie camps and tryout camps and NBA camps, summer league to make teams if they didn't? Don't blame Bronny. Bronny's a young player. He can turn out to be an excellent NBA player. He could be a role player. I mean, Austin Reeves, I watched play at Oklahoma. My son went to Oklahoma exactly when Austin Reeves went. I went and saw Austin Reeves play at Oklahoma. I didn't even know he was on the court. Didn't even know he was on the court. And now he's one of the better Lakers. It's Anthony Davis, LeBron. But Austin Reeves is a cornerstone player now for that franchise. You know how much better Bronny was at 15, 16, 17 years old than Austin Reeves? Not even close. So my point is, a lot of people are miserable on the internet. They're miserable, and they're not miserable in real life. I'm miserable at times on Twitter. God, I don't know how you follow me. I mean, I'm a train wreck up and down. But if you can't give this kid a pat on the back for playing with his dad, it bothers you that much that a kid who had a heart ailment and could have died playing basketball is playing last night in a debut? It really bothers you that much that Bronny came out on the court with his dad? Wow. All right, let's get out to the phones. Jess is working. We'll get Tyler in Vegas. Good to hear you from 920. What's happening, Tyler? Go ahead.
Hey, JT, I'm good. Hey, I just...
Come on, Tyler, pull it together. You've been on hold. You know what you need to talk about. I got to run a high-end show. What do you want to hit me with? Go.
No, absolutely, JT. I'm sorry. So I just want to say I feel for you, saying when you're telling us that you're hearing from Raiders fans that are saying that winning is pointless.
Yes, I'm hearing from a portion of Raider Nation, A, who wants to lose on purpose, are paying customers, paying an enormous amount for tickets, beer, pizza, hot wings, and want to lose a football game. I'm hearing some of it. I'm not hearing a lot of it, but they all seem to be coming at me. That's why it might be more than I think, because they all seem to be directly telling me that. Yes.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, I feel for you, JT. They're going to get you going to the Modelo's early. No, I have friends that are saying the same thing, and I understand. You know, this is frustrating. The Raiders are 2-5. But you know what? 2-5 isn't the death sentence in the AFC. there's only like four or five teams that you're really afraid of in the AFC. And honestly, as far as Raiders losses go, the Panthers loss was bad.
I don't want to go back. With all due respect, I don't want to go back. How do they beat Kansas City? I only got 2.5 shows left. How do you beat Kansas City? That's all I care about. That's it.
You know what we need to do, JT? We need to hit Mahomes. Like, against the Niners, it looked like they were, like, in awe of him. They didn't want to hit him.
Yes.
He had that one play on the sidelines. You know, he was about to go out of bounds, and then he broke back in for 30 more yards. If that happens this week to the Raiders, they need to hit him. If they throw a flag on us, that's fine. We need to hit him. We need to let him know this isn't going to be an easy game. The Chiefs are going to be wearing those white jerseys. I want to see grass stains all over Mahomes' white jersey, JT.
Thank you.
I want to put pressure on him from the jump.
Thank you for that phone call. That's exactly – it's not – I don't need that call. I know that there are a lot of negative fans. It's just we're the flagship of the Raiders. It's not even the halfway point of the season. We'd like to beat Kansas City. We beat them last year. They're playing like garbage. Garbage offensively, and they're 6-0. They're 6-0. How come we can't play this poorly on offense? We are. We, the season ticket holders, play good defense and be 6-0. I'm not even looking for 6-0. I'm just looking for, 4-3. That's what's driving me nuts. 702-365-9200. The monologue brought to you by the DiCastaverde Law Group, Alex and Orlando DiCastaverde. You get into an accident, you're injured. 702-222-9999. It's just crazy. Used to be very easy for me to drive to Summerlin to deep Henderson, where we are here. And now it's just cones everywhere. 215s backed up. People cutting over lanes like NASCAR. My favorite exit closed, Southern Highland. Wait, what are we doing here? Building railroads? We believe in that conspiracy theory? There's going to be a railroad that takes us to Victorville? God, who believes in that? Not me.
Hoping perhaps to make him try too hard. Fernando ready in the strike two pitch. Is hit back to the box, dribbling to second. Samuel on the bag, throws to first, double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990. If you have a sombrero, throw it to the sky.
What a call by Vin Scully. Fernando Valenzuela passed away yesterday. We dedicate the show, the energy to him. I'll be at Game 1 of the World Series on Friday, back for Raiders pregame show Sunday. We bring in Levi Edwards, joins us every week from the digital team, one of our insiders. So you wrote a really good piece on Desmond Ridder coming over. How did that develop? Because I think he's a pretty good player to be available. Everyone's talking about Tannehill or how do you get this guy or that guy. Why did the Raiders, Tom Telesco, Antonio Pierce, and Luke Getsy zero in on him?
Well, they were able to really pinpoint something that they needed a little bit both of. They wanted someone who had starter experience, but also someone that is not high up there in age or high up there in status, I would say. So with Desmond Ridder, you get what you're looking for with youth and also starter experience. As someone who started, I believe, 12 games last season, has about 14 to 15 starts within his career, 12 touchdowns last year, along with 5 rushing touchdowns. So he's a guy that can come in and immediately contribute if need be.
Yeah, that's the first thing I jumped out at your content is the rushing touchdowns. For whatever reason, that's not happening here. It didn't happen much with Derek Carr. I thought it should have happened more. It didn't happen with Jimmy Garoppolo for obvious reasons with his lower injuries. It's not going to happen with Aiden O'Connell, healthy or not. It's just not going to happen. And for Gardner, I'm really disappointed that Gardner Minshew didn't use his legs better and hasn't so far, because I was just thinking Gardner was going to roll right, look, tuck and run 6 yards, get out of bounds. First down, we get a new set of downs with Devontae, Brock Bowers, Trey Tucker, a healthy Jacoby, and that wasn't able to happen because the Raiders can't sustain staying on the field on third down, and the best way to do that is with a running quarterback.
Most definitely, and I remember back in 2022, that was my first NFL combine I had ever went to and covered with this team, and I remember Desmond Ridder, he was in that quarterback class for that combine, and he ran a 4.59 40, So he's quick. Mm-hmm. 4.5 as a quarterback.
That's a really quick quarterback.
Pretty damn fast. So to have him be able to – obviously you want your quarterback to be able to make reads, look over the field, make the right decision. But you have someone that if the pocket collapses, you know he's gone.
Levi Edwards in studio. So we're not seeing Trey Tucker and DJ Turner get a lot of separation. And I think they're not getting a lot of separation because I'm not seeing a lot of go routes, especially for Trey. Look, for Trey, the separation's going to happen when the ball's in the air. Not going to happen off the line of scrimmage, especially if they give him a 10-yard cushion and there's a safety looking at him. The separation's going to come when he's even with the defender. The ball's thrown 30 yards in the air and maybe he can run underneath it. Is that because the offensive line just can't give the quarterback enough time?
I think it has a lot to do with just protection, of being able to hold up in the pocket for as long as you can. Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell both had decent amounts of time to be able to make throws. I truly do believe that within this offense, when you look at film in the way that Trey Tucker has been used within this offense, he's a speed guy, go route guy, big play, explosive kind of playmaker, jet sweeps as well. I think, you know, I'm not a coach or anything, but I believe that with this receiving core, you need to find a little bit more comfort in not necessarily check downs, but those short to intermediate routes of being able to spread out the field instead of a safety always knowing, okay, well, he's going to do a go route, he's going to post, he's going to do this. Let's kind of expand the route tree a little bit more with DJ Turner, with Trey Tucker, see how they can get more separation in those routes versus a defense kind of already knowing, okay, well, these two guys are very good at this. We're going to watch their speed. We're going to play cover two. We're going to back up off of them and make sure that we don't let anything in back of us. So I think that's why they're not really necessarily getting the separation, because of the fact that I think a lot of defenses are just properly and adequately preparing for him.
Levi Edwards joins us. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT. We got a good audience there. They're always happy to see our insiders come in here. So I want you to take me back to Christmas last year. You're in Kansas City. The Raiders win the game. It's the last time Kansas City lost. Their stats are really bad on offense now, and that with Patrick Mahomes. Rashee Rice goes out. We see the move that they made today to go out and make a move and get DeAndre Hopkins. He'll be ready to go. Kelsey's no longer the player that he was. Not that he can't catch touchdowns and get open and win another Super Bowl, but he's not the Kelsey of 5 years ago. But the Raiders then didn't have Christian Wilkins. They got him. He's out now. You know, we know that Epps is played in that game. He's not. He's gone. And we know that Kuntz, who was popping in that game, popping and starting to come into his own, is gone. What similarities do you see with this Raiders roster? Because it's not the record. Because they were charging to get Antonio Pierce the job last year. What is your hope that the Raiders can win as you break down both these rosters? What do they need to do?
I believe it's going to be very similar to what it was on Christmas Day.
There you go.
And with that, not necessarily saying we're going to come out with a win. But if you like defensive football, then by golly, this is going to be the game for you. Because that's how the Chiefs are 6-0. You look at all these stats. You look at the interceptions. You look at the lack of yards. Travis Kelce only has 28 catches this season. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a number one receiver. You could say their number one receiver right now is the first-round rookie they just drafted, very similar to our offense as well. But this is a defensive game. This is a defensive team now. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Patrick Mahomes still best quarterback in the league, but this Chiefs team, that's their identity now. The reason why they're 6-0 is because they have Chris Jones, they have Nick Bolton, they have your good friend Jaden Hicks in the secondary making plays. Like, they are a good defensive team. And I believe the Raiders are a good defensive team, no matter, even with the injuries with Christian Wilkins and Malcolm Kuntz and Marcus Epps and Masterson, all the injuries that the Raiders have suffered on defense this year, they technically only gave up 13 points against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, 13 points.
They got stops when they needed to. 20% on third downs. They allowed 20% conversion on third down to the Rams, and I believe it's less than 30% throughout this season. So they're doing what they need to do. So it's going to be a very defensive game.
Levi Edwards is our guest. So for those, everybody out there, I always have a pet peeve. I always have something that really bothers me when it comes to the quality of a football game. And it's not just the Raiders, it's everyone. Sometimes people lock me in a box, they think I'm talking about the Raiders. I'm not. I'm talking about Daniel Jones and the Giants. I'm talking about what I see with Geno Smith. But my new pet peeve now with the Raiders is they don't give Brock Bowers any targets in the end zone. Okay? So there's two things here. They went to him once in the last game. He was tackled. The ball was tipped. And they basically tackled him. The ball wasn't tipped. That would have been clearly defensive holding, and the Raiders would have had first and goal at the one. They wouldn't have kicked a field goal. They would have scored. But all these games I'm watching, it's either they can't get up to the red zone, or once they get there, they're wasting a down running it. That's my opinion, not Levi's. They're wasting a down running it into the pile. And then maybe they're going to Brock. It's always underneath. Where are the 50-50 fade balls to him? Where's the crossing pattern where he lines up in the slot? Trey's on the far left or Jacoby. They're crisscrossing, but when he's crisscrossing where he's ending up in the end zone.
Not
underneath.
Short of it.
So
yeah.
Getsy has got to see this. So if I see a first down at the 9 or at the 12 or at the 13, I'm assuming they're going to slide a safety over and look at Brock. They're going to look at him. But can we give him a chance to catch the ball in the end zone, please?
I definitely believe we should give him a chance to catch in the end zone. And I will say this. I will give credit where credit is due to these defenses.
Yeah.
Because you,
fair enough.
You can see, it's very obvious that when the Raiders' offense is in the end zone, these teams, they target in on Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these double teams that he's not getting when they're in
good
the middle
point.
Of the field and they're spreading out the field, he gets a lot more attention in the red zone. And so, obviously, you still want to look his way, and you want to get him one-on-one opportunities to make plays on those go routes and fades and all of that. But I really do truly believe that they have to figure out a way where we can get everyone else involved and people are also getting open or kind of distracting away from Brock Bowers, especially in those opportunities. And I truly do believe that with Jacoby Myers potentially coming back this Sunday, he'll be a huge factor in how they can move in the red zone, especially with the fact that he's not just a receiver. He also has he can pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can do jet sweeps.
Good point.
He, you know, has quarterback experience, and you've seen packages where he can find somebody open in the end zone if he has to make a throw. So it unlocks a whole other component to your red zone offense as well.
All right, so I want to get to one more stat at the end, the red zone woes for Kansas City. Kansas City often sustains drives on third down efficiency. They're fourth best with a 45.3 conversion percentage, but they haven't capitalized in the red zone. They're tied for seventh worst with 47.83 in that conversion ratio. The Raiders have been really good this year on defensive third down conversion. I think it was 2 of 10 in the last game. They held the Rams to. I think that's where the game ends here. If Mahomes on 3rd and 7 is just waltzing to the pylon or just running to out of bounds getting first downs, Raiders have no shot. But if they can contain him, secure the edge. Tyree Wilson's got to secure the edge, man. You're a football guy. If he can't get to Mahomes, he better hold up that edge and not let Mahomes run around him. Is third down defense for the Raiders their chance to win this game?
Absolutely, especially because red zone offense is the Chiefs' opportunity to win this game because this is just going to be two really good play callers going up against each other because Andy Reid is one of the best third
all
down
time.
Offensive play callers I've ever seen. And Patrick Graham, he knows how to dial up, not even just dial up good base defenses, but he's able to dial up plays for certain players and situations that he knows is going to hit, especially with how he's been doing the safety blitz with Trayvon, with Trayvon now having like almost half a dozen tackles for loss this season and the sacks. And so I really like what he's doing on certain downs to really get particular players in certain positions to make plays. So that's going to be crucial because it's going to be one of the best versus one of the best, and we're going to see how that shakes up.
Thanks for coming in studio.
I appreciate it.
Levi Edwards. Jess, we'll get out. I'll wrap it up on the other side. When we come back, we'll get a call in or two, and we'll tell you the keys to the game. Big show tomorrow. I'm off Friday for the World Series in L.A. Can't wait for that. Good guest tomorrow, Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders, will join us. We'll get into that. And all Raider fans, you're on deck. How do you beat Kansas City? I know you don't like Kansas City. How about getting a win and really sending a charge through this entire organization?
Be honest, it's penalties and turnovers. Let's just start there. Penalties, turnovers, and execution, right? It's detailed work is easy, right? You go zone right, everybody needs to go to right. We can't have guys going different directions, right? We got to be clean on that part. Each and every week, I think, you know, you go in the game and you feel confident about what the staff is able to do. And I have felt that. And I think at the end of the day, we have to execute as players. We got to call the right plays at the right time. And when all that's going on, if the play breaks down, it's up to the guys on the field to make it right. And that's what this game always comes down to. It's players and coaches putting them in positions to make plays.
Wow, that's a good soundbite from Antonio Pierce. JT, back with you, brought to you by Resorts World. Head on out to Resorts World. Carrie Underwood, when she's in town, Kevin Hart. What a great theater there. Resorts World, proud partner of our show. As we continue on, he makes an interesting point there. He's confident that the coaches put together a good game plan. I'm normally confident, too. I said that about Josh McDaniels. I said it about Art Schell. I said it about Norv Turner. I said it about Rich Bisaccia. I've said it twice about John Gruden. I think the coaches put together a good game plan. And if the game goes south because the players are making mistakes and the players aren't blocking or turning the ball over, you know, it's easy to pick out the players who aren't playing great. That's pretty easy to do. But the scheme is being questioned now. A lot of people in my chat on YouTube are questioning the scheme of Luke Getsy. Well, I think Luke Getsy's got to open up the offense a little bit more against Kansas City. Let me leave you today on this point. If you don't embrace the shootout with Kansas City, and you might not think the Raiders have the talent to get in the shootout. I would agree with you. If you don't embrace the shootout, you're going to get buried by them. So you better be able to run like gazelles and run fast and play with the speed of them. Because if you think you're going to shorten the game and use the clock, you're nuts. You better embrace explosive plays if you want to beat them. Thanks to Jess for putting it together. Thank you. Lincoln Kennedy, Antonio Pierce, the coach, join me. Vinny Bonsignore and Levi Edwards. That's a hell of a radio show because of the people who join me. Q's coming up next. Q will tell you about the press conference and I'm sure preview Kansas City. From Raiders headquarters, I'm JT. Have a great day, everybody.